Yo, what is up, guys? It's me, Zach Lee. Welcome back to another episode of The Dish, your dishwashing addicts. You know, you can't get enough clean the dishes, but yeah, this ain't a job.
They keep getting weirder every time. They get more and more weird.
That's our trademark, though. That's our trade. That's how we start off the show.
You gotta
catch your attention early. I mean, how are you gonna feel if someone starts off a show by calling you a dishwasher? You're gonna want to keep watching. And you're gonna want to make sure those dishes are clean, so like, you know, you can be a good dishwasher.
If a nigga call me a dishwasher on a podcast, I'm turning that shit off. No, I'm just don't turn the shit off.
Anyways, we got a couple of co-hosts like always. You guys want to say what's up, Beasles?
All right, what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Dish Podcast, another episode. Hopefully, this is a good one, as they usually are. That's good.
And then, Dom.
What up, everybody? Your dishwashing bag. Let me stop. It's your boy, Dom Church 97, a.k.a. Dom's Old Ball, a.k.a. your mom's favorite midnight snack. And she like to wash them dishes. How you guys doing?
All right. So, some habits that dishwashers have is leaving some dirty dishes. You know, there's nothing worse than getting to a restaurant and then your plate got some of the last person's plate still on it. You know, some dirty dishes, some bad dishwashers. So bad habits left by dishwashers. Some teams in the NBA have bad habits, like the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have a bad habit of losing as of late and playing no defense.
That was a good segue. I like that.
What do you guys see with the Cavs? Every time it seems they have one of these lapses, it always has to do with their defense. Not like offensive lulls. No, it's always they stop playing defense, and not playing defense is their bad habits. What do you guys think about this?
I mean, honestly, like I kind of saw this from the beginning, like because people were like, "Oh, IT's coming back. It's all good. They're gonna start winning games," but the reason they're losing games is because of their defense. It's not because of their offense, because their offense has been fine since, like, week two, basically. And I don't think IT coming back solves their main issue. So that was my whole thing with it.
I mean, for me, like, the past 4 years, their defense has been a problem until the playoffs. So, y'all know where I stand with the Cavaliers. I don't give a shit about the regular season, just like they don't give a shit about the regular season. Man. I'm just waiting to the playoffs and they flip that switch, baby.
But is that really okay? Is it okay for them to not play defense during the regular season?
Listen, it wasn't okay year one, and they went to the finals. It wasn't okay year two, and they went to the finals. It wasn't okay.
And won.
In year three, it wasn't okay. And in year four, it's still not okay. But it's just like they just... I'm not going to say they just don't care. Maybe saying they don't care, that's a stretch. They obviously care. I just don't think... I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's hard for me to say what it is. That's why I'm just like, I just really don't care about it. Because, like, it's so much you can say what's wrong. Maybe because they don't have a real center to protect the paint. Maybe because they're not communicating how they should be until they get to the playoffs and that atmosphere and the intensity changes so they feel like it's a sense of urgency. Maybe that's what it is. They don't play with a sense of urgency.
But you don't see any of these other, like, elite teams. None of these other elite teams, it's not okay for any of them to slack in the regular season. Like, if Boston were to stop playing defense, everybody would be like, oh, they suck now. They're trash. What's wrong with... No other team... Every other team tries every night on the defensive end. It's only the Cavs consistently who have this problem.
I mean, but you don't see that many other elite teams getting to the finals now, are you? I mean, like...
But that's the thing. Like, they can get to this stage. They can get to the finals doing this. But that's not their goal. Their goal is to actually win the finals. And because of these bad habits, it is. And because of these bad habits, that's the reason that they lost last year. And that's the reason they were down 3-1 the year before. I know they came back from the 3-1 lead, but it had to be perfect basketball. Exactly. Yeah. It had to be perfect basketball for them to come back.
Right. If they have these bad habits, they'll put themselves on the spot against the Warriors where they pop up just because it's something they've been used to doing for the 82-game regular season. And if you do that against the Warriors, you lost.
So could you say maybe it's the coaching? Could you blame coaching?
For sure.
I mean, coaching,
but it's also the players, too. It's both.
I mean, but if the players aren't respecting the coach and they're just not listening to him, that could be the thing. Like, that disconnect between the players and the coach could be showing up on the defensive end. Because offensively, like, hands down, they're talented, so the offense is going to be there. It's just defensively, you need coaching on defense. Like, you need schemes,
you
need
game plan. Do you really need a coach to tell you need to play defense?
I mean, for the Cavs, apparently they do. I mean, have you seen
that? That's bad, then.
I mean, listen.
They should be like, yo, you know what? We ain't playing no defense. No one's talking. Let's do this. Even if the coach's defensive schemes aren't the best, it's not like Brad Stevens or Steve Kerr or any of the others. Greg Popovich defensive schemes is whatever defense Tyronn Lue thinks they can run. They should be like, you know what? This ain't working. We as the players have to do something ourselves to at least try to play some type of better defense. And there are times where they do it, too. There are times where they play not like amazing defense, but passable.
I mean, but that's what you expect. I mean, not that's what you expect. Well, what do you expect when over half their entire roster actually can't play defense? Not their entire roster, other than probably three players.
The Houston Rockets are a good defensive team, though.
I mean, they have more defensive players than the Cavaliers do, though.
They got, I guess, Chris Paul is all right. And then they got Clint Capella.
PJ Tucker. Trevor. I mean, it's laughable, but it's true.
What do the Cavs have? JR?
JR is supposed to be a pretty good defender.
Is he?
Yes, he's a good defender.
You got LeBron James. You got Tristan Thompson. He can
play defense. Is Tristan really a good defender, or is he just an energy guy?
Who? Defense and rebound.
These guys are good defenders when they try, but the problem is they're not trying. That's the big problem.
They have the talent. Are you going to blame that on the players? You blame it on the coach?
Both. Both. It's both.
I blame it on both.
I mean, the coach can't make the players go out there and try.
And if the players aren't trying, I mean, listen, like I said, they're not playing with a sense of urgency. That's just how the Cavs are playing. That's just how they play. I mean, I can't explain it.
Is that acceptable, though?
I mean, it's acceptable for them. It's acceptable enough to get through the East. I don't know.
That could be their downfall one of the years in the Eastern Conference is their complacency.
That's very true. And
they think they can just coast and then everything will be fine. One year, it's not going to be fine.
And listen, I guess we're waiting for that year. But for LeBron James, it's been 8 years. Like, is that year going to come? When is it going to come? I feel like he's waiting for that year to come. Like, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But it is broke.
Listen, it's broke when it gets to the finals. But the road to the finals, it ain't broke. So don't fix it.
And then it breaks down a little bit in the finals, too.
That's what I'm saying. The goal is to win the finals. So it is broken.
But see, that's what you have to ask. Is it really their goal to win the finals?
Yes.
At this point, I think their goal is just to get there at this point.
What kind of a goal is that?
So you're telling me if LeBron is on your team, your goal is just to make the finals?
I mean, listen. We're not talking about LeBron. We're talking about the rest of them niggas, okay? We're not talking about LeBron. Of course LeBron's goal is to win. But from year in and year out with this Cavaliers team, we see that the rest of the players,
You see Bron slacking on D2. It's not just everyone else.
You want to know why LeBron slacking on D?
Because he has no hope. Huddle.
No, not because he don't have no hope. Because he got to rest up, man. He got to play offense. He got to do so much on the offensive end. He can't.
Oh, he has to do so much on the offensive? No. All right. Okay. Apparently, this is the deepest team LeBron's ever had. Okay.
And look how they're playing.
I hate that argument. They got to do a lot of the offensive end. Then you see guys like Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard,
Paul George.
Some of the best two-way players. Still have to do a ton of the offense.
And you know what's funny about the three players y'all just said? They all came in the league defensive-minded and developed the offensive game. That's funny to me.
It still doesn't matter. They still do it every night.
But it's different between a player that's purely defense coming into the league because that's all they know, and they develop
LeBron
an offensive game.
This is LeBron James.
Isn't his whole thing that he's the best all-around player?
I mean, hey. When you coast, you get the block.
Oh my, stop. Stop.
When you save your energy, you can run down court in 0.2 seconds to block a shot in the finals.
His whole motive is that he can guard all five positions and he's the best all around player. All right. Put LeBron on Boogie. See what happens.
Put LeBron on Boogie. Boogie gonna give the ball up. You ain't see what he did against the Knicks tonight? He just gave it up. Jeez. You see that? Nah, I'm joking. No. Let me get off. I'm off that. Now, honestly though, like, do they need to step up defensively? Yes, but I honestly don't know what it is. Like, they just don't show effort.
Exactly.
I mean,
they don't show effort
on the defensive end, and it's like, it's so many things you can nitpick and point at and say this is why. At the end of the day, I just think it's the players not playing with this is urgency and the coach. Yes. That's what I think it is.
It is.
You get you a different coach in there, and you actually get somebody to bite their heads off and make them play, like get at them, then they'll play with that pep in their step. They won't just wait to the playoffs. But if Tyronn Lue is just gonna sit over there and look like a fish out of water, I mean, hey,
I don't even know.
It's the players too, because you look at Beastles, you're gonna love this, but you look at
the Timberwolves. They have Tom Thibodeau as the coach, And how much defense do you still see Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns play?
None. They don't play none. They're trash.
But then you have like that great defensive coach. So you're telling me if you put Tom Thibodeau on the Cavs, all those players magically start someone playing defense?
But see, the thing is, with those two guys, they're young guys that still can – they're still trying to get a hang of playing team defense in the NBA. So they're still trying to get their rotations right. They're still trying to figure that out. The thing is, you have a bunch of vets on the Cavs. Listen, they haven't improved. I mean, sometimes you don't see improvement until it's late. Sometimes you could be a late bloomer. I mean, they're still – it's Cat's, what, second, third year? Like, it's second year, right?
It's third.
Third? Okay, yeah, so third year. Cat's third year, Wiggins' fourth year. They're still young. They're still mad young. And this is their first year with the actual defensive coach. Like, who was their coach?
Thibodeau was there last year.
They had Tibbs last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought they got Tibbs. Oh, you're right. No. So maybe it takes – listen, like I said, like I always say, the process is not just a two-year thing. It took Brad Stevens 3 years. Like I say, give it 3 years, and then we'll talk.
In the league for four. Man, but still, oh then you look at the Cavs. You look at the Cavs. You said the Wolves are young. Cavs have veterans. Veterans should know that you got to play defense.
But see, veterans and that's again coaching. Veterans need player coaches. Like veterans need like coaches. They need a bona fide coach because a vet is going to look at some of these guys that T-Lou's coaching played against him. They're like, nigga, I dunked
on you. Do you put any of the blame on LeBron like at all?
Yes, I do.
All
right. LeBron's not blameless in this situation. LeBron has room for a lot of blame in this.
Dwayne Wade was looking down like he was in that
yeah,
meeting.
Like,
because I just think like his whole mentality of like coasting in the regular season, you know what I mean? Like for him leaving energy off for the playoffs. Like I feel like JR, Tristan, and those guys feel like they can do the same thing, and then in the playoffs, they have no switch to turn on. You know.
It's just LeBron turned on the switch.
Exactly. Like LeBron can do it because he's the leader, that rubs off on the other guys.
I think for them is they see LeBron get so much better and that makes the Cavs look better that they think they get better too. Actually they're still trash.
Well, we're all getting better, bro. We're all good. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things you can say. It's just like I mean, of course LeBron needs I don't know. LeBron needs to bite some heads off. T-Lou needs to stop being a backup coach. He needs to actually be the head coach, not an assistant, not the third assistant coach. It's just a lot that needs to be done. But again, like I say all the time, this is every year with the Cavs. The scary thing is,
after LeBron, when the Cavs were playing against the Raptors and LeBron had that whole meltdown where he did try and bite their heads off for not playing defense, even though he wasn't playing defense either that game, you would think that after that huddle, they would at least start looking better. They would be like, all right, LeBron's upset. Let's play better. That didn't happen. Then after that, like, you would think the next game, they would be like, yes, let's play defense. And they did for the first quarter when they built a 22-point lead, and then they lost it to the Pacers and lost the game. So that was a game after that. They played one quarter, 12 minutes, with defensive urgency, and the rest of the 36 minutes, they looked like the same old Cavs that got blown out like the past three games.
I mean, a lot of it is the fact that this is a different Cavs team than last year. So I know it might sound cliche. Man, I know it might sound like an excuse.
40 games into the season.
They still might need time to get together. They're bringing IT games back. They're bringing.
So is it a different team or is it the? They're just doing it's like this every year.
It's like this every year.
I mean, it's like this with the Cavs every year. When I say it's like this every year with the Cavs, when I say it's like this every year with the Cavs, I mean their defense. We complain about their defense, about their sense of urgency, but going into this year, I'm like, nigga, I mean, wait till the playoffs, I guess. I don't know what to tell you.
Like, if anything, you would think they would get better defensively this year with guys like Jay Crowder.
Just tell me it's a problem, though. Just tell me it's a problem.
It's a problem. I told you it's a problem. I said you can blame LeBron. I said LeBron has a lot of room to be blamed. I said there's a lot that needs to be done. I'm acknowledging that there's a problem. But at the end of the day, nigga, I'm not going to worry about it to the playoffs.
So it's not a problem then.
I mean, just because I don't worry about something don't mean it's not a problem. You cannot worry about any problem in the world. If somebody goes out and crashes a plane into the pyramids in Egypt, that's a problem. I'm just not gonna care about it. Like, I'm like, okay, nigga, if I buy pyramids, like, I'm not gonna care about it. It's a problem. I'm just not gonna care. Like, nigga, okay.
But we'll see what happens. Should you care?
I mean, should I care? It's the pyramids in Egypt. Like, who the fuck cares?
I'm talking about the Cavs.
I mean, again, if the Cavs always show you that they struggle defensively in the regular season and then they manage to get to the finals.
Is that the problem if they're losing, though? If they're losing because they're slacking off in the regular season and building these bad habits?
I mean, it is a problem, and it is something that needs to be changed. It's just, if they're not going to change it, I mean, there's no point of us just sitting here barking at them saying change it. If they don't want to change it, fucking let them lose. They got to learn somehow. Like, honestly, like, if they're not going to change these bad habits, what's the point of everybody to keep pointing them out and being like, hey, you should change that. Hey, what are you going to do to fix? I mean, if they're not going to fix it, let them lose. Let them lose again in the finals. Let them get knocked out by the Raptors in the second round. And then let's see if they change things.
If they lose again, they're going to change a lot because LeBron out.
Oh, yeah, LeBron's about it there.
There's about to be a lot of change in Cleveland.
It's about like some dark days again, man. That stock market going to crash in Cleveland. Hey, that stock market about to crash again, boy.
Y'all remember when, to that Nets pick.
When he first left Cleveland, how many people lost their job? Oh, man.
Bro, Cleveland went to a depression.
Cleveland turned into Stockton, boy. They went bankrupt.
He took the whole Cleveland economy with him.
Right? LeBron is the economy.
But speaking of problems, Markelle Fultz. No one knows what's going on anymore. A week ago, there were reports that, he's getting better. He just ran his first 5v5 full contact. So clearly, if he's playing full contact, that means his shoulders should be fine. Because if the Sixers out there playing people full contact that still got a bum shoulder, there's a serious problem. But they said that, and then just a video just came out showing Markelle Fultz shooting, and it still didn't look. It looks like when you first give someone a basketball and you tell him to shoot, and they just fling it up at the rim. That's pretty much what Markelle Fultz looks like right now. Like, it looks like he legit just completely forgot how to shoot. Like, how concerned should we be about this at this point? His shoulder is supposedly fixed, but he still can't shoot.
I'm so concerned for Markelle, because I like that guy, bro. It's just, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't, like, can y'all at least tell us, like, what the real problem is, why he's shooting like this? It can't just be just a shoulder. No way.
Man, I don't know. Like, did he get amnesia, a blow to the head or something? Like, this doesn't make sense.
He said, what's her name?
It's starting to look like the Boston Celtics finessed the crap out of the Philadelphia 76ers. They had a workout with Markelle Fultz. They were like, something is off here. Something ain't right with this kid. Hey, Philly, we hear you want Markelle Fultz. How about we give you him and take your next pick that you were supposed to get to the Lakers? Probably going to be top five. Yeah, give us that too. You can have Markelle Fultz. We'll settle for Jason Tatum. You know, he's no Markelle Fultz, but we'll settle.
And the thing is, that Lakers pick, when they had it, I don't even think it was protected.
No,
so it could have been like the seventh pick, and they still would have had it.
Yeah.
Come on, Philly. Jesus.
Philly got finessed by the finessers.
Man.
It's our thing.
Boston's a professional. No one thought Boston could keep finessing after the whole Nets thing. And they say, hey, Philly, that process you got, and finesse. Imagine if Philly would have got Jason Tatum. Imagine how savage
that team crazy would look. Because if you think about it, that would have made the Sixers even better in the future, of course, which would make the Boston Celtics arguably not as looking great for the future. Because if you had Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, like, you think they'd be set. They would need nothing else for the next 10 to 15 years.
They would have got like Marvin Bagley too or some shit.
Right.
Honestly, I don't think even if the Celtics would have kept number one pick, I still think they weren't going to take
No, Markelle. They probably weren't.
They probably going to still take Jason Tatum. They just seen a chance to get the finesse. They seen a chance to finesse.
They said they were going to take Jason Tatum number one overall regardless.
I wonder who's the guy that told Bezos that a while ago. Like, so long. Oh, SEC, I think the same guy told you that too.
What? The Jason Tatum?
Yeah, about Jason Tatum being the player that the Celtics wanted the most, and everybody was like, "Oh, Dom, you're tripping. Markel looks so good." And
I just Jason didn't, Tatum look. All right, I didn't think Jason Tatum would be. Look, coming in the draft, I knew he was probably one of the safest players to pick because I knew he could score. There was no question that he was going to be able to score the NBA. But his defense, his maturity, everything else like that.
One shot, those two.
Yeah, I just didn't think. I don't think anyone thought those would be where they at already.
Yeah.
So that's why it kind of surprised
You were
me.
Just saying out of position. It wasn't like you thought he was going to be this good. You just said it was position.
No, no, no.
You thought they were still going to have IT.
No, no. Who the hell thought it was getting Kyrie other than Convey? Anyway, but I said, and I quote, Jason Tatum is the best pick for the Celtics, not only because of position, because he was the best player.
You just saw a backcourt of Isaiah Thomas and Markelle Fultz. Like, that ain't gonna work. So take Jason Tatum.
No, honestly, the whole thought process was, bro, Jason Tatum's a small forward. At the time, they didn't have Gordon, so I was like, if anything, he would make the most sense out of all the guys to take top five. Like, he's better than Josh Jackson, and he would make the most sense. I don't see why you would pick a point guard to go at IT. So that was my reason behind it. But, I mean, listen, he turned into a beast, so I take that, too. Like, hey, look, it's working with me regardless.
But how much do you think the Sixers are going to regret trading this pick?
I got to wait to see Markel play first. Like, when he comes back.
Will we see Markel play?
I mean, listen. Just like with Lonzo, look, the shot's ugly.
It's not that it's ugly. It don't fall. Yeah, it was like it was.
Awesome.
When I tell you, it was like watching someone try and shoot for the first time. It was like watching you go give your grandma the ball, tell her to shoot. That's what Markel Fultz looked like right now.
So did he shoot like this in college at all?
No,
his jump shot was.
He
nice
didn't even
in
shoot like this in the preseason.
That was the
league.
Biggest thing about Markel was the fact that he can shoot off dribble so good.
So is that so? Obviously, not obviously, but my takeaway is just it's an injury that happened. That they probably don't want to tell people about, or something that might be a detriment to the team about how he got hurt. Because you know, with certain players, like if they get hurt a certain way, that's like has nothing to do with basketball. It's on the team. Like the team could be liable for that and like have to pay like a fine or some shit. I don't know. But if they find out that he got hurt, like say he was playing paintball and hurt his shoulder, like that they're coming out their pocket with that because that was like a non-basketball related injury, like or something like that. I read up on it real quick, but yeah, you can look into it. So I feel like Markel probably was out at the strip club, you know, tossing some of that number one pick money and got involved with the wrong people and they jumped him and broke his shoulder. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Something happened. Something happened that they don't want to tell us about. There's something we don't know about Markel.
It has to be because this doesn't just happen. They didn't say anything. All they said was, "Oh, his shoulder hurts. Why? What happened?"
You don't pull a Michael Carter Williams from the preseason to day one of the regular season. It doesn't happen like that. Okay, you don't just forget how to play basketball that quick.
This is Josh Martin, co-host of Hollywood Hoops. Now, like a lot of you, I've tried a lot of these different meal kit services, delivery services, where they send meals to your house that you get to cook yourself. And every time I run into the same two problems. Number one, I don't eat meat, so my options are usually pretty limited. And number two, it just takes too long to make these meals sometimes. So I've been looking for a solution to those problems. And fortunately, I found one in Hungry Root. What Hungry Root does is deliver weekly boxes of healthy convenience foods that you can use to make a variety of inspiring, delicious dishes. All their food is plant-based and gluten-free and comes either ready to eat or ready in less than 15 minutes. You can choose to make the dishes according to their recipes or mix and match ingredients for additional flexibility. So Hungry Root offers over 75 dishes that you can make at home, like their fan favorite sweet potato pad thai or their cult favorite almond chickpea cookie dough for $25 off each of your first two deliveries for a total savings of $50. Visit www.hungryroot.com and enter the code Almighty, Almighty, at checkout. That's www.hungryroot.com and enter the code Almighty for $25 off each of your first two deliveries.
It's not like a weird advanced training regimen too. It's like the dude just can't shoot, bro.
Right. It's real bad. Someone else is getting a lot of hype in the draft. I personally don't know too. I've seen about him on social media. That's all I pretty much know. I don't really follow the college scene as much, but I hear a lot of Trae Young hype. I've seen what he's been doing recently. Like, the numbers he's been putting up is amazing. He can still shoot. Hopefully, he doesn't get drafted by the Sixers somehow and the same thing happens to him. But what do you guys think about this Trae Young hype? I hear he's like Steph Curry 2.0 and stuff like this. What do you guys think?
I don't believe he's Steph Curry 2.0. That's just a little too much right now. But I do believe he's going to be a good player. He's going to be a good NBA player to start out. Now, what can he turn into? I don't know yet. Because going into college, I thought he was just going to be a great shooter. He turned out to be a great offensive threat and a great passer and just a lot of other, a great scorer in general. So going into the league, if he keeps developing, he can be in that Stephen Curry lane, especially depending on what team he goes to. But ain't the nigga like 6'2"? Like, he is pretty small. So
yeah, Curry ain't big. Curry's 6'3".
Right.
At the same time, wasn't the knock on Curry if you get physical? And let me stop. But nah, if with Trae Young, I gotta see him play first. I gotta see him get to the league. I see what team he gets to. Make sure he don't pull a Markel and forget how to play basketball. I don't know. It's just a lot that goes into it. Do I believe the hype? Yeah. If there was a line that says, do you have faith in him or do you not? I'm on the side that has faith in him. I got faith in Trae Young. He's fucking marvelous.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and just flat out say, oh, next Steph Curry without a doubt. Oh, next best thing since sliced bread. Like, I'm not doing all that.
Sliced bread.
I know, right?
I mean, the thing about Trae Young, like, he's putting up historic numbers, but the usage rating... Like, he'd have, like, the second highest usage rating in NCAA history right now, and like, top five in NBA history, some shit like that. So that's the thing. There's also the question about his defensive ability. That's also a big question. But if you watch him play, he played, like, even to the shots he takes, they're very Steph Curry-esque.
Yeah, I've seen some clips, like, on Twitter and stuff, people sharing it. He has ridiculous range and, like, a really quick release.
Yeah, so I think my biggest problem with him is just the shot selection and the defense.
The shot selection, that the shot's going in, then you know what?
It's going in. and the turnovers, he's averaging like 5 turnovers a game.
Yeah, that's the one thing that would concern me, because if you're averaging a lot of turnovers in college, if you get to the NBA, I mean, 5 turnovers per game in college, like 10 per game in the NBA.
Yeah.
Especially for a rookie point guard.
Yeah, so I just think with Trae Young, his stats don't really show how good of an NBA prospect he is. Like, he's putting up terrific numbers.
But doesn't he have, like, the support of LeBron? Wasn't, like, LeBron hyping him up recently, too?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw something with LeBron in him.
Yeah.
So that's a sign right there, because, you know, Ben Simmons was the same with LeBron.
Yeah, that's a good sign. But, you know, I think he's a good prospect. It's just, I wouldn't go like Steph Curry 2.0.
Yeah. Even though LeBron was also hyping up Shabazz Napier back in the day.
Hey, Shabazz ain't that bad.
But LeBron was like, I ain't taking no other point guard before Shabazz Napier in this draft.
And then they picked him and he was like, deuces.
delete that tweet real quick.
I did enough to get you drafted, bro. That's it. My job was to get you here. That's it. I'll get you in the league. That's about it. He was like, oh, LeBron likes him? He might stay. Nah, no.
Right, like, he would stay for some rookie like that.
He would stay for Shabazz, bro. Nah, I'm good.
That's what they were hoping.
Oh, that's funny.
But what team do you think will end up with Trae Young?
I say the Suns.
The Suns?
I think
like,
the Suns.
You think, what pick do you think is going to go, like, 4 or 5?
I think he'll probably go 3, maybe 4. Unless it depends. Because I don't want
Luka Doncic. I mean, you got that Luka Doncic, you got Marvin Bagley.
And then who else?
But look at the teams that are gonna get that pick. They don't need Trae Young.
But see, what team? What teams are going to get that pick though? That's the thing.
Right, we're talking the Kings,
the Hawks, the Kings,
Hawks, Kings, Mavericks. You never know. Hawks is smooth. They see Trae Young, like, ah, I'm gonna need Dennis. Get trade Dennis. Probably get another young piece.
They need to trade
piece.
Dennis Schroeder anyways.
So yeah, they trade Dennis Schroeder, get another young piece. Boom, Trae Young's there.
No, but they're probably gonna get like the number one or two pick. So if you have Dennis Schroeder, why would you get Trae Young when you can get Marvin Bagley?
Because they should trade Dennis Schroeder anyways.
I'm at, well, you can trade Dennis Schroeder to a team that has probably like a top five pick, and then be like, hey, we get Trae Young, and then we don't get Marvin,
no
but we get
a top five pick. Yeah, Dennis Schroeder.
Why would you pick Trae Young? Why not Marvin Bagley?
Okay, so maybe not the number one pick, but it depends on the team, honestly,
bro. He belongs in Phoenix. His play style belongs in Phoenix. It does. I mean, just run and gun, just shoot with Devin Booker, Splash Bros 2.0. It belongs in Phoenix.
That would be nice.
Everyone says the same thing about Lonzo too, though. What Cavs, Trae Young? Don't send him. Don't do that to him.
If LeBron leaves.
If LeBron leaves.
Don't do that to him.
Kyrie 2.0? Let me stop.
Oh, shoot.
Don't nobody Kyrie deserve 2.0. To get drafted. Like, no one in this draft wants to be drafted to Cleveland.
True.
I'm about to say that is pretty true.
I mean, that's like the worst place
to get drafted. No one wanted to get drafted to a LeBronless Cleveland. Let's say that.
Yeah. I mean, even if LeBron was there, like if I was a rookie and LeBron was going to stay on the Cavs and I was going to get drafted by the Cavs, I wouldn't want to go there. That's just too much stuff to deal with.
I mean,
your rookie year.
Because first of all, you're a Bulls fan, so who cares? I mean, not you're a Pistons fan, so who cares? Let me stop. Well, it depends on the rookie. Trae Young, yeah, I could see him saying, yeah, I'm not playing with LeBron. But if you're like Mo Bamba, like, nigga, why wouldn't you want to play with LeBron?
I mean, I'm talking about like a top. Like, if you're a top pick in the draft.
Top pick in the draft. Yeah, I don't think Marvin Bagley wanted to go play for Cleveland.
Yeah.
But Michael Porter's move might have wanted to play for Cleveland. I don't know.
That's
I'm mad his back got hurt because...
That's too much pressure and expectations to be put on a rookie.
I mean, hey, some rookies want pressure. That pressure, man.
That's a lot of pressure.
Some,
with
some
LeBron.
Might not live up to it.
Well, this guy... I already know who he's talking about.
Oh my god, he really is turning
to
Skip
Bayless.
My boy,
A-Wiggs. What's good, A-Wiggs?
The Skip Bayless to Andrew Wiggins, man.
Skip Bro, Bayless. When's the next time Andrew Wiggins plays? He's gonna drop like a 50 bomb.
I think they play. They don't play tonight, do they?
No. I don't think they play till Tuesday.
Oh, they do. They do play tonight.
They do.
I thought
Andrew Wiggins dropping a 50 bomb.
If Wiggins go off fork,
he's
dropping
damn, 14. Stop.
Like Levine.
Levine better stop.
Low key, I do think Levine's going to wind up being the better player.
Yeah, I think that too.
But that's no shots against Andrew Wiggins. I just think Zach Levine's going to be a beast. Zach Levine about to be that man in Chicago. Him and Chris Dunn, best backcourt in the NBA in 5 years. Nah, that's a stretch.
In five years, I mean, who else?
It's possible, but it's
Kyrie and Jalen Brown. True.
Depends on if the Lakers get another shooting guard, that could be Lonzo, or if Ben Simmons is considered a point guard actually, and Markelle Fultz remembers how to shoot. Yeah, or is alive at that point.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Who do you think is going to be the number one pick in this draft, though?
Marvin
Bagley?
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of DeAndre Ayton. I don't know that much about him.
DeAndre, he's one of those, from what I know, he's like a DeAndre Jordan type of center.
A DeAndre Jordan type of center? So he's just an athletic big man?
Yeah, basically. Like a defensive-minded athletic big man.
He ain't going first.
He's not going first, chill.
Jesus.
No, I'm just saying, but Joel Embiid was like that too, where he's like, as the season went on, he was a big man. At first, it was either obviously Andrew Wiggins or Jabari Parker. Then as the draft came up, it was Joel Embiid. Then he got hurt, and that's why he fell to the third seed.
No, but the thing about Ayton is he's not like DeAndre that's just defense. Like, he can stretch out to the 3-point.
Oh, you didn't say that.
He can. Yeah, oh, I need to start watching more DeAndre Ayton. Yeah,
he might be like Joel Embiid.
I thought he was like pure like athletic big man that like played defense and got bored. I didn't know he could shoot.
No, he can. I don't know if he can put.
If we're talking about down, but DeAndre Jordan that can shoot, then that's a different story.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So
I still take Mo Bamba over him though. But that's just me. I like Mo.
Mo Bamba.
Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba. He has that like. See, and I was about to say that.
Man, that name first, has, I feel like that name has bust written all over it.
Oh wow, you're disrespectful, and that's just because of Scene the Beat, huh? That's racist. You Loki racist. Probably is. You racist. You racist. Mo. That's racist. Mo Bamba, that is
racist. Scene the Beat. Look, you got Mo Bamba, you got Scene the Beat, you got Emeka Okafor. I mean, it's just
blatantly racist, demonetized. Blatantly racist. Jesus Christ. Nah, bro, Mo Bamba has that like. As a young player in college, he has like Ibaka defensive IQ. No, like he has like that prime Ibaka defensive IQ. Like
prime Ibaka defense. Ain't Ibaka supposed to be in his prime right now?
No, you know Africans age differently. Come on.
Oh, this guy.
Africans age differently. Come on now.
Ibaka was in his prime at 12.
Ibaka Smooth was in his prime when he was like 24, 25, and then, you know, he rapidly aged, and now he's this.
Bro, so what's that mean for Joel Embiid then? You got 2 years left?
Probably.
Oh, my knees.
Right? You already got
knees. There's a reason.
Embiid's 24 with the knees of a 34 year old, bro.
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton's nice. I mean, it's not a stretch to put him at number one. But I'd still go Bagley first.
It depends on what team gets the number one pick, though.
Yeah. Right now, it's looking like it's going to be the Hawks. I can't see any team finishing with a worse record than the Hawks.
Yeah, if it's the Hawks, it'd probably be Bagley.
Yeah, I can see Bagley in the Hawks. It sounds like he played for the Hawks.
Yeah.
Which is Marvin Bagley. Marvin. Hawks. Marvin's a player that would play for the Hawks.
That's my SEC just stereotyping all these players' names.
I mean, my name. He don't watch no college hoops. He's just doing straight stereotype by names.
Wait, who drafted Marvin Williams? Wasn't Marvin Williams drafted by the Hawks?
Oh, God. Did he go to Atlanta? Oh, damn. Loki. If that's the case, that man Marvin Bagley got bust written all over his name.
Ooh, so Marvin Williams is a... All right. Okay.
Here he goes.
Okay. Y'all heard it here, right? Marvin Williams a bust? All right. I'm going to keep that for
the you don't want to put him on the same level as Michael Beasley being a bust. By your definition of being a bust, if you have any expectations that don't meet him, you're a bust. Which means 95% of the players drafted are busts.
That's not what I said.
That is what you Michael said. Beasley on OJ Mayo level.
You said if you don't a player that does not live up to their expectations that's drafted high?
Like that's what? Very far from the expectations.
Okay. So how is so you thought Wiggins was really going to be like a 30 point per game nigga by his fourth year in the league?
Not 18? Fuck.
I mean, but he obviously if Jimmy Butler wasn't there, he'll be like 22, 23 cuz he'll get more shots. Yeah.
Well,
by year 4 you should be at least a top 30 player.
How is he going to be a top 30 player when he has Jimmy Butler on his team now?
He can do other things aside from scoring.
The one thing Bissell says, I give him credit.
Go ahead.
Finish your thought.
Not about to say, but he can't do other things if we know the Timberwolves just use him for ISO. What other things can he do?
He can't play defense. He can't rebound.
Obviously not. Cat can't play
rebound
either.
So the system's rebounding. That's why he can't.
I mean,
he can't
Wiggins is little body. You want him to go in there and break a leg trying to rebound?
That's a flaw.
That you got to put weight on. You got it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to think of a player that was like Wiggins in the past, where he was put into a different system and started to succeed. Can't think of anyone.
Because it's not just like a player going into a different system. It's the fact that he's a number one overall pick.
Hey, but even number one overall picks need the right system.
That's true.
So every player needs the right place to play.
Bogut wasn't Bogut until he got to the Warriors. Just saying.
Stop.
Just saying.
Hey, Beasley wasn't Beasley again until he got to the Knicks.
Oh, just saying. God, this guy.
Change of scenery.
Bro, OJ Mayo wasn't OJ Mayo until he got to Africa.
Oh, my God. I had to say, oh, my God, on that one. He hasn't even been seen in Africa. That's the sad part.
Bro, he got eaten. He got ate by a lion.
Please don't say that, because it's probably happened.
All I'm saying is, year four, he should be top 30. That's it. That's all I got to say on Wiggins.
Man, hey, Andrew Wiggins, you out there? Hey, come to my Pistons, bro.
What's good, y'all? This is your boy, Justin, a.k.a. Just Blaze, host of Above the Rim. And if you want a raw take on the NBA, Above the Rim is a show for you. With dope beats and entertaining guests each week, we offer a great new insight on all things NBA. You don't want to miss it. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the Almighty Baller Network.
Get traded to my Pistons, you will ball out. I guarantee
you. Yo, come join these Pistons and be the next Stanley Johnson.
What?
Good ceiling.
Hey, Stanley Johnson, like, exact opposite of Andrew Wiggins. All he got is defense. That's all I'm gonna say. That actually, we went through all the topics that we had to bring, unless you guys wanted to mention anything else.
My man, Sendarius Thornwell, bro. Shout outs to him.
Sendarius.
Shout out to my boy Thornwell, bro.
And he goes, what? Go ahead.
I don't really have anything else to say, but yeah, shout out to my boy Wig, you know what I'm saying? Drop 18 tonight, please. You know what I'm saying?
Drop 18 tonight.
That's all I want.
I was going to say, the one thing I give Beasles credit for in his old Andrew Wiggins thing is the point that he's averaging less points and shooting more shots. Like, that's the only thing that I will acknowledge is concerning. But that's why I say it has something to do with the system, because he's shooting more shots and averaging less points. What's he, like, taking 20 shots a game?
So the only thing he can do is score, and he can't even do it?
But that's because...
Come on, bro!
It has something to do with the system. I know he can score. What's I know Andrew system? Wiggins can score. ISO Wiggins. That ain't the way to do it.
ISO Wiggins.
That ain't the way to do it.
So he can't do it as an ISO scorer, and they're trying to use him as a third option spot-up shooter, and he still can't do it.
They're not even really doing a spot-up shooter. He's like, they're giving the ball to him, like, in the post, and then he's working. ISO is not his thing, all right?
ISO, so he's a scorer that can't ISO? What?
He can't ISO, but not as effectively as maybe he'd be able to play in a more motion offense type thing.
Oh my. So the only thing he can do, he can't even do good. All right.
No, you're getting it twisted. You're getting it twisted. He would be a great team player on the offensive end. I believe in this. I believe Andrew Wiggins.
Man. All right. What's the cutoff? What's the cutoff to the point?
But the cutoff is when he gets a different team or a different role.
Oh my God. All right. So he's locked in for like 5 years, right?
No, he ain't going to spend those 5 years in Minnesota. I guarantee you he will not be in Minnesota for the next 5 years. Honestly, I can see Wiggins being moved as early as next season.
Ooh. I wonder why.
Because he don't fit in Minnesota. He don't fit there. Just like Zach LaVine didn't really fit there that much either. And yet he about to ball out in Chicago. Chris Dunn didn't fit there. He about to ball out in Chicago.
All right, man. I hope the best for Wiggins. I just don't know if it's gonna happen. That's it.
No faith. Oh, faith. He just skipped Bayless.
I got
Bayless.
No faith. What is he showing to give me faith?
Skip Bayless to Andrew Wiggins, man.
Oh my God. At least I bring up valid points. Stop.
Are they really valid though?
Stop.
How are you going to call a 21-year-old averaging 20 points a game a bust?
But that meant SDC.
He's 21.
SDC.
He's 21.
He's a bust, okay. Though.
In 4 years,
bust.
He hasn't shown any improvement. He's just
shooting. But how is he a bust if he's averaging 20 points, though? I don't understand how you could even be a bust at that point.
Because in year three, you should be at least like a top 50 player. He's like barely. But, he's like 40.
But he's
like 48.
Not even a, Oh my god.
He's like 48. Come on.
But you say he should be a top 50 and he's 48, so he's still top 50.
Oh my god. Stop.
You just stop. I'm going by what you said. He should be the cut.
Okay, he should be like 30, but the minimum is like top 50.
That's on the borderline. There are a lot of great players in the NBA. 30. It's kind of high.
But if you're saying the minimum is 50 and he's past the minimum, how is he a bust?
Oh my god. First of all, I said borderline bust, all right?
No,
I said he was a borderline bust. If you watch the video, I said he's on the border of being on that Michael Beasley territory and actually
he ain't
not
never
being
gonna
a
be Michael Beasley.
I said territory.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you go back and look at our last podcast, please show me exactly where Biso said he's a bust. He's a tier what? Tier two.
He left him in with Michael Beasley, OJ Mayo, and Emeka Okafor.
He's at the top of that tier, all right? Okay.
He's the best person in the tier.
He's on the verge of being out of tier two. You know what I'm saying?
He's on the verge of being a tier one bust.
That's what it is.
On the verge of being a tier one bust.
Apparently, he's the best bust. He's the best bust. Oh my god. That's a thing.
Yes.
He's the best bust in NBA history.
He's the best bust ever. I'm done.
Like out of the tier twos, he's like at the gate of being not tier two. You know
what I'm saying? That's like the most backhanded compliment.
All right, B course number.
I'm
done.
Man, we gonna get flagged for hating on Andrew Wiggins.
I'm saying, okay, Canada about to be on our ass. Anybody get no downloads to Canada?
We got Dom not acknowledging the Raptors as a team, only saying they have DeMar DeRozan. There you got Beasley begging on Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, Canada.
First of all, if anyone thinks that the Raptors are anything but DeMar DeRozan, you're an idiot. As KD called Jimmy Butler, you're an idiot.
Hey, Canada, y'all got my back. You know, I like that guy at OG. You got some nice young players. That Van Vliet guy. You guys got the back.
Them niggas didn't even know how to say his damn name. I don't want to hear that.
OG Anobi. OG Anobi.
I guarantee you half the Raptors fan base don't know how to say his name to this day. They just call him Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam. Hey,
Canada,
looking nice.
I said on the last part, I give y'all a chance against Cleveland. So,
Canada,
don't get your hopes up. Y'all know here's my thing with team the, every year
here's
in the playoffs.
My thing with
y'all
the Raptors in Cleveland this year. The Raptors in Cleveland this year. The last times it was like an uncompetitive series. This time I still see the Cavs winning, but it'll be a very competitive six games. Like the Raptors will actually deserve the wins that they get. You know? So Raptor fans,
I hope LeBron James turn that switch on y'all in the playoffs and sweep the fuck out y'all and make y'all feel bad. Wow. just to make this regular season really look like nothing. So next year, when we talking about the Cavs struggles, if LeBron's there, I'm going to be like, well, last year when they were getting 30 bombed by the Raptors, everyone was hyping it up until they swept the Raptors in the playoffs. Again.
Bro, they got 30 bombed by the Raptors when DeRozan only scored 13 points.
I know, right?
They didn't have Serge Ibaka. They didn't have Kyle Lowry. And they still got 30 bombed by the Raptors.
LeBron left the switch at home. He forgot to flip before he left.
This guy.
He forgot to flip that switch before he left. That's why he was snapping everybody in the huddle. You seen Dwayne Wade? He was looking like, down. He was
like, y'all really, how y'all forget the switch?
It was like, what did I tell y'all? Day one of the preseason. Come with the switch. Do not leave your switches home. I left my switch. Wade left his switch. You left your switch. We don't got no switches. Look at the Raptors. They over there playing with all types of switches. DeRozan left his switch at home and they're still good.
The Celtics shit might not even be turned on.
The Celtics are still building their switch.
We got 30 bombed by them too.
It's like Nintendo trying to catch up with Xbox. No.
Oh my god. You know what I think the Raptors are?
I look at the Raptors
like NBA Live.
Oh,
y'all hype this goddamn thing up every year. It gets hyped up, and the product is trash.
As soon as they announced YouTubers were about to be on NBA Live, I mean, we should have known it was going to be trash.
They desperate to get some.
Live is on the come up and 2K going down.
Is it?
It is.
Do you have live?
No.
So how's it on the come up? Exactly. Look at that. How you gonna say live on the Kobe?
I mean, I'm on the PC, so I can't.
Oh, nigga, would you buy live?
Yeah. No.
What? Psych.
No.
He's on the damn well. He won't buy live.
I will stop.
Nah.
You will play it. You wouldn't buy it. There's a difference. I didn't say would you play it.
Would you play it though? Would I play it though?
See, SEC wouldn't even play the shit. I don't trash think it.
I
would.
Like, I mean, if I had no other games. I had a PS4 and I had live.
I just want.
I'm just selling the PS4.
Thank you. I'm just giving it up, bro. Get a Nintendo Switch. Go play some damn. Go get a Wii or some shit.
Right.
Go play Wii Sports. I would play Wii Sports and goddamn NBA Live right now.
Wow, live isn't even that bad.
You don't even have it. How do you know?
I watch videos, bro.
Who do you watch play live?
Shout out to my boy TBH. Shout out to my boy TBH. The Black Hokage.
Are you serious? Is he even a valid sports source when it comes to games? A valid sports game source? Are you serious? I know about TBH.
Fuck is a sports game source?
TBH is more. Listen.
He said he's even a valid one.
Bro, they can't even get. Okay,
what is one?
Bro, the 2K YouTubers that were. The 2K YouTubers that they put in live don't even play live.
Exactly. They play live for the beta, and that was it. To see themselves in the game.
But that was in the beta. It's gotten better with the patches.
But why don't they play it? They were in the game.
The niggas, the niggas in the game don't play it. Bezos, that doesn't make sense. Bezos, the niggas that were in the game don't even play it.
They got put on by this game. And like,
that man LSK played it literally for 2 days and it hasn't talked about it since.
Man. Hey, live, I'm here, bro.
Oh, my God. And they might put your ass in the game. Better stop. Live, don't put me in your game. I'm going to say no. Don't put me in that shit. You don't want me in your game.
Yo, shit.
They about to have flight reactions to cover up the next NBA
Oh,
live.
My God. They just might. They're that desperate.
Flight team stand up.
Oh, my God.
But I guess that's going to do it for this episode. Somehow it turned into an NBA
Each
live.
Episode gets more entertaining.
Hey, no, but for real life, if y'all want to sponsor this show, you know, send us some money, you know, we'll
put out.
Hey, listen, you come with that bag, I'll play live all day. What you mean?
Right. Hey, you know what? What we're saying? You know what? Live
wanna
come
up.
Game.
Live wanna come up.
If y'all ain't already checked it out, y'all can find it for free somewhere. Check your local dumpsters or GameStop.
Wow.
Might have
wow.
If you go on GameStop and use the promo code "This Game's Ass," you'll find Live.
Oh my God, y'all are so disrespectful.
No, you know who's disrespectful? The niggas who develop Live are disrespectful. Have you seen the animations on that game? Like, nigga, what?
They
took a year off to make
and
this
still game. Made a trash ass game. You niggas are trash.
They took a year off
and came back with shit. Took a year off, and within that year, they said, you know what'll put us over the edge? YouTubers.
It's not as good as 2K, but it's not trash. It's Andrew Wiggins.
Nah, that's disrespectful. That's not Andrew
Wiggins. What do you mean? It's not good. I mean, it's good, but it's not trash.
Bro, Live is Michael Carter Williams. It started off so great and then ended terribly.
Right. How much did the game cost? $20?
$10. It was for ten.
It was on sale for $10 now?
Yep, it was on sale for $10. My friends were trying to get me to get it. I was like, I'm not wasting $10, bro.
You should know it's trash.
Man, shout out to Live. Shout out to
Hey, yeah, you know, shout out to Live. Sponsor us because, you know, we probably ain't going to get sponsored by 2K yet. But
Live. 2K, no damn well, they ain't going to sponsor me.
Live, we got you. If you give they us got you, money. Live. If you get up, you know what? We won't say anything good because we don't want to, you know, put a bad name on ourselves or recommending something bad. But we'll just stop talking about you. If you pay us, we'll stop trashing you. We'll
there you go.
Like you never existed.
Matter of fact, you come with enough zeros, I talk good about you. I play your game. The more zeros, the better the publicity, you know? But if ain't that many zeros, my nigga, you out back.
Bro, you get 5 zeros, you know, you get a 5-star rating.
Stop. Jesus Christ.
That man Bezos is like, I'm trying to really get sponsored by Live. Y'all tripping.
Live doesn't even look bad anymore, bro. They just gotta make a couple tweaks.
Man,
they're fine.
No, nigga, no. Don't. Why are you lying? Why are you? I like how we extended this episode so we can trash Live, and I'm gonna keep going with it, bro. It's a lot more. They need to make a lot more tweaks, not a little bit.
Bro, they need to ditch. First off, ditch the name Live because that has a bad reputation.
They did. But they did, and they didn't even put that game out because it was so ass. It was called NBA Elite.
I don't know. They need to. Man, they just need to stop. Give it up.
Live is fine, yo. No, they're heading in the right direction.
EA. Let me tell you how you can take the market back from 2K. I don't know if anybody's told you this, but I'm gonna tell you the groundbreaking secret to how you can get all your fans back.
Make a good game.
Go back. Not even that. Reopen the EA Sport big production. Make all of the EA Sport big games like NFL Streets, NBA Streets, SSX, all those classic games.
Did you
used
still
to
say
make
like EA Sports is in the game when you first started up?
No, Jesus Christ, how long has it been since you played a game? No,
why?
What
why?
The? Do they still say EA Sports is in the game? Like, nigga, what?
Bring that back.
That man, as DC said, yo, did they still say EA Sports is in the game before the game started?
Low-key, I think the last Live I played was like 05 or 06.
Oh, what?
05?
Oh, my God. Nigga, oh, anything is just bad. Oh, if you say, oh, five, the one with Melo? Oh, God.
Yeah, that's when it was. That's when it was. That was 05, right?
Yes, that was 05.
But yeah, that's the last Live I
right
played.
Now, it's not bad. Y'all bugging.
Like a potato. It's like a potato. That's all you can say about that them graphics. Anybody, if you want to laugh at a basketball game, go look at NBA Live 05 game.
That was like on GameCube. I think I had it on GameCube.
I had it on GameCube too. Shout out to GameCube. Hey, Nintendo, if you want to sponsor your boy, send me a free GameCube.
Hey, yeah, Nintendo. We out here.
I don't even need a Switch. I don't even know. Wii. Just send me a GameCube and 2 controllers. We lit.
No, but maybe Live should just stick to Nintendo. Go back.
That's even worse.
Maybe they should just make it handheld. Just make it mobile.
Just stick the Madden. How about that? Just stick the Madden to FIFA. Y'all obviously have that market dominated, even though you bought the football market, so 2K couldn't take that over either. You should have did that with basketball, but you was too slow. Just stick the Madden and stick to FIFA. You know?
Maybe take up golf. Table tennis.
Y'all already fucking up UFC, so y'all might want to stop with that too. Have y'all seen UFC 3?
Ultimate Frisbee is getting some traction. You know, MKBHD, Marquez Brownlee, he plays.
Hey, Live, y'all want to really make a boom? Make the first NBA G League game, bro. y'all already was the first one to put the women in the game, bro. Might as well make your own G League game.
WNBA?
Yeah, that's in there. You ain't know that? They had their own new Live. Yeah, WNBA teams. Literally only one woman can dunk. It's so sad. It's like playing with middle school.
Wait, that's it. NBA Live is.
Yep, like the women. You should have seen how everybody was so hype about it when they first announced it. If you was going on Twitter and typing like NBA Live on like the trending shit, so many women, oh my God, we're finally in a game. None of them bitches bought it. None of them even played the shit. Jeez, it was so
that's
sad.
Bad. That's so
bad. Like the only.
Who would play with WNBA?
Nick, a couple YouTubers did and realized you only can dunk with like one girl and they all quit the game. They're like, yo, fuck this. I'm not playing this shit. Only girl that can dunk is Brittany Griner. That's it. Other than that.
Who is that?
The only woman in WNBA. Yo, SDC, come on. They were talking about her playing in the NBA at one point. Come on, bro.
No, I don't know who that is.
Brittany Griner is like the most savage woman to play in this era. Because she's like, first of all, I think she's a transgender. I ain't gonna lie to you. Brittany, if you're hearing this, God. don't snatch my head off. We cool. It's just she talk. Her voice deeper than all of ours. Like, if you hear her talk, it's like a female Shaq. It's crazy.
Female Shaq.
And she like
roasting people.
And she just dunks on everybody. It's crazy. And I'm telling you, SEC, you seen that movie Joanna Man?
Nah.
It's about the dude that dressed up as a girl to play basketball. That's basically her life, basically.
Oh, I think I've seen that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically that in real life with Brittany Griner. Like, she's like 6'9", 6'10", diesel. Straight dunking on females, just straight clits on foreheads. Just
clits on foreheads. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I'm done. I'm
ending
done.
This episode right now, bro. Shit.
Oh man, that was funny.
On foreheads. Jesus Christ.
Jesus. All right. On that note, like I said, Live, feel free to I know you probably you're struggling right now with the flop game flopping, so you probably can't afford that many zeros at this point. So we'll settle. But send some money our way. We'll stop bashing you. But until then, y'all trash. So that's going to end off this episode, guys. Thank you back for watching The Dish once again. Hope you guys clean your plate. Wash the dishes afterwards. Don't nobody like eating off dirty plates. If your plate's not clean, if your plate's not clean by now, then, you know, buy a dishwasher or something. Eat, put it in there.
What we spit out.
Hire somebody. Just make sure your plate gets clean so it'll be clean for the next time we're ready to eat our spit. So,
oh my God.
My God. Jesus. All right. We're cutting.
All right. B-Souls, you want to say goodbye?
No. All right. Peace out, everybody. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Oh, man.
Hopefully, we don't trash on live next time. Stick to Wiggins. But...
Oh, man.
Right. He said no. All right. Dom.
Yo, thank y'all for coming out. This has hands down probably been one of our funniest episodes. thank you. Hope you guys, like SEC said, cleaned your plate. And live your ass. All right. Guys, break.
All right. That's going to do it. Peace.
Honey?
In here.
Oh, you painted the ceiling.
Yep.
Blue.
Feels so much less cooped up, right?
I guess. What's the yellow paint for?
Well,
the floor needs a double line, otherwise it's chaos. Can you hand me that yield sign?
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.